Welcome to High Point Church. My name is Shannon Dickerson, and we hope you enjoy today's message. If you do, please like and share and let us know what you enjoyed most about it.
So we have started a new teaching series, which I'm entitled Financially Faithful. And this particular teaching is on an area that is very controversial in the body of Christ, that has been abused by a lot of different preachers out there. But like I like to say, there is a reality to it that we need to give some credence to. We need to absorb it into our life and understand what God's truth is concerning being more faithful with our finances. Because like I've made the point of, when people are baptized, it's not just your physical body you're giving over to the Lord. You're giving everything over to Him. Therefore, your finances, your pocketbook, your wallet, your bank accounts are also at the Lord's use. Amen? And so we're called to be faithful with it while we're on this planet so that we can be good stewards that the Lord will look at one day and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." How many of you would like to have the Lord say that to you one day? Hopefully every hand has gone up. Well, let's go in our Bibles to Galatians chapter 3, because I want to continue on the lines that we have been talking about at the beginning, because one of the things that I see as being very important that we get established in as we start talking about being more financially faithful is how we think. What's our frame of mind? What is our mentality? Because there are a lot of people out there that do not think right concerning money. And one of the ways, you know, statistically they tell us how these people are. There's a lot of people out there that they spend every extra buck they have on what? Lottery tickets of all kinds, right? And what do they say about these people that are trying to get these quick, get-rich-quick type schemes in their life? What is it? Well, when they hit, the ones that hit, they lose it real quick. And why is that? Because they haven't developed the mind for it yet. In fact, there's also young athletes out there that come out of poverty-stricken backgrounds, but they've got athletic ability, and all of a sudden some money's thrown at their feet, contracts are given to them. And you know what a lot of times happens to those guys? They lose it. They squander it. And by the time they retire, they have no money left. Why is that? Because they don't have the mind for it. Therefore, having a mind for money is one of the most key and critical parts of actually attracting more of it in your life and properly stewarding it and being faithful with it. Amen? So what we started off talking about was some of the things that we have to renew our mind to. One of them is this, that the Bible is explicit. It's clear that God desires, He is pleased when His people prosper. And we went through a bunch of different scriptures in part one of this teaching talking about that God has pleasure in the prosperity of His servants. He wants you to be successful. Just like every single person in here wants your kids and grandkids to be successful in every area of their life, and that includes financially, vocationally, and all these other areas. Amen? God's no different. He wants you to be successful in your soul. He wants your soul to prosper. The most important thing is the eternal spiritual things. Amen? But that doesn't mean He doesn't care about the natural things either. God desires and wills for all of us to be successful. And we got to renew our mind to this, because we've been taught differently in a lot of churches, thinking God doesn't care about all those natural things. Oh no, God only cares about your soul prospering and this and that. Like I said, it's the most important, but that is completely unbiblical. There are lots of scriptures that talk about God cares about you having the power put on your life to get wealth so you can be more of a blessing to other people. Amen? So go back and listen to that teaching if you missed it. Then last week, we barbecued a few sacred cows. Amen? We talked about some of the scriptures that seem to counter such theology, that talk about, well, no, brother, it's the love of money that is the root of all evil, and we should be content in such things as we have, and those that are rich are condemned in all these different ways in the scriptures. We looked at a lot of those verses last week, and we found out it's not money that's the root of all evil. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. It's not the rich that are condemned. It's those that are desiring to be rich. So it's not the problem, it's not the finances that's the problem, it's the hearts of people and their flesh. It's kind of like the law, right? You know, a lot of times people look at it and see the law as being a bad thing, But it wasn't the law that was bad, even though it aroused sin in us. What was bad was the flesh. The people that misuse it. You remember I made the point last week. Your spoon doesn't make you fat. Right? Cars don't drive drunk. It's not these things that are used wrong and incorrectly. It is when somebody starts using them in the incorrect way. It's the same thing with money. So we need to renew our minds to start realizing money's not the problem. It might be my heart behind it that needs to be checked and corrected. Amen? Now this week, I want to talk a little bit more about the way we see ourselves. Another thing in which we need to adopt that the Bible clearly teaches us, and it is this, that we are blessed. In fact, if you've probably met my brother in this church today, Burkett, wave your hand around. Ask Burkett how you doing. How you doing, Burkett? Too blessed to be stressed. Amen. Well, the Bible is actually very clear that it talks to us about that we are the blessed of the Lord. So I want to talk to you a little bit today about what that blessing is and how it applies to our life. But look at this verse. Now, is Galatians 3:13 and 14 New Testament or Old Testament? Good. We got a bunch of educated scholars in this place today. So this is New Testament. This means it is written to you. I know it says it was authored to the Galatians out there, but all scriptures given by inspiration of God. Therefore, when this is talked about, he is talking, and specifically he was talking to a group of Gentiles. So we're not even talking about the Jewish community here. We're talking about born again, bacon eaten, pork chop consuming Christians. Right? How many of you like bacon in this place? Amen. Praise God. Now, this is who this is talking to. So if you fit any of that bill, this is what he says to you. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Now look at verse 14. That, or in order that, the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now I'm going to tell you, there's most Christians, they have just glossed over those verses and they have no idea what that's saying. But this is where you need to study your Bible correctly. When you go back to verse 13, when it says Christ has redeemed us from something, then your ears need to just be wide open and say, what has he redeemed me from? When you see the word redeemed, most of us don't even know what that means, but the word redeemed describes how a price is paid to purchase one out of a particular bondage. And if you don't know what that is, we were put under slavery to Satan and sin through the transgression of Adam. When Adam bit into that fruit, sin spread to all humanity that would be born from that. And every single one of us, until the moment we're born again, we're born under slavery to something. And that is sin. Amen. So what Jesus did was he came to pay the price to purchase our redemption from that slavery so that we can legally and justifiably be brought out of that bondage and into freedom, and into blessing. But what I love here is he's very specific. He tells you specifically what Jesus paid a price to redeem you from. What was it? The curse of the law. Now, if you're not familiar with what the curse of the law is, most people don't even take the time to look that up. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 28, and you'll find out that the entire chapter of Deuteronomy 28 is devoted to what the blessings of the law are and the curses. In fact, he spends a whole lot more time talking about what the curses are than he does the blessings. The first 14 verses talk about the blessing. The last, I don't know how many verses it is, from verse 15 to all the way to the end of the chapter, describe the most hideous, heinous curses that would be put over somebody's life for doing what? Violating God's law. Now, I'm going to get ahead of myself a little bit. This is an important point to get. Because as we read this, we would tend to think, man, I'll read all these curses, and I'm like, gracious alive. You're talking about that there is the botch that will come over you and the mildew. You go read all these things. It's like, gracious alive, there's some terrible things that were going on in the world back then, and we got terrible things today that sound a lot like them. One of them was called the itch. I don't know what the itch was, or the botch of Egypt. It'd be kind of like if I came to you today with a little vial of green stuff and I said, this is the botch of Egypt. How many of you would like some today? You'd say, thank you, I'll pass. Right? Well, the awesome thing is, whatever these things are, it's not that we're just redeemed from diseases and poverty and different things that they had going on back then. It's the same today. So the good thing is, if I go through and study all those things, it's not me looking at things, oh man, these things are things I need to be terrified of. No, you read it through the lens of Galatians 3:13 that says, Christ has paid the price for me to be set free from all these things. So it's actually good news to read it. Amen? But what I love about this passage of Scripture, and like I said, with the curse of the law, it also described very specifically poverty and lack. It was called a curse in the Old Testament. For violating God's law, people having holes in their pockets, not being able to pay their bills, always working for somebody else instead of being the head. All those kind of things, it goes into describing that all of those things are a curse. Meaning something very important to us today. If those are curses, then what are they today? They're still curses. Nothing's changed. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? So we've been redeemed from those things so that we can be what? What does Galatians 3:14 say? That the blessing of Abraham might come upon us. So what's awesome here is we've been redeemed from something and unto something. That means that whatever this blessing of Abraham is that we're talking about, we can find out very clearly that is what God has redeemed us for. So I think maybe we should give a little attention to what the blessing of Abraham is. Now, don't be confused in reading this to think, oh, this is talking about the blessings of Abraham. When you start using the term blessing, we always think of stuff. That's not what it's talking about. You do not want a several thousand-year-old donkey carcass, I can promise you. You don't want Abraham's tent that he had thousands of years ago. Actually, you might want that because you could probably sell that on Craigslist or eBay or something for a pretty penny. Don't you reckon that'd be a little valuable, Liz? No, but my point is, you don't want his stuff. What you want is the thing that was on him that enabled him to get stuff. The book of Proverbs tells us this, Proverbs 10:22. We'll put it on the screen. I want you to notice what this scripture says. The blessing of the Lord does what? Makes one rich. And he adds no sorrow with it. Now I want you to notice in this verse that Solomon differentiates between what the blessing of the Lord is and the riches. You notice that? It's the blessing of the Lord that makes one rich. It's not the riches. You see what I'm saying? And you'll find out why that's so important, because the devil could come and try to steal everything you have, but that don't change the fact you're blessed. Amen. In fact, we got an awesome example in the Bible. We'll put it on the screen for you. Genesis chapter 39. Look at this with me. This is the story of the life of Joseph, who was one of the ones that this blessing had been passed down to. It started with Abraham and then went to his children. Right? Now, in this chapter, this was after Joseph, who was highly favored by his father, had been given a coat of many colors that symbolized that favor, right? And his brothers sold him into slavery, right? And guess what? Somebody redeemed him out of that slavery, Potiphar, by purchasing him. Now, this is what's powerful, though. It says, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Say, taken down. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. Say, down there. Have you ever felt like you've been down there? Have you ever felt like before that You were lower than a snake's belly in a wagon's rut. You picture what I'm talking about there? We're talking, that's as low as you can get, man. Have you ever felt that way in your life? A situation or circumstances happen or are not happening, and as a result of that, you just feel as low as you can be. Do you reckon that might have been the way Joseph felt? I mean, he had gone from this place of favor and now has been betrayed by his brothers and was in a terrible situation. In fact, at this moment when he was being bought, what they would traditionally do during that time is they would strip those guys down to naked. So he is standing, just being portrayed before everybody with nothing but his birthday suit on. I mean, so what you're basically seeing right here is this guy had been stripped to the worst, most poor and impoverished position. But, look at verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. Now, if you like the old King James, it says he was a prosperous man. Now, what's powerful to me about that is that God chooses to reveal to us that Joseph was successful, was prosperous, when everything in the natural did not convey that. When he was at the lowest position that he had ever been in his life, God still called him prosperous. What do you think is important for us to think about ourselves, no matter what's going on in our life? You've got to understand, it don't matter what's happening to you circumstantially. You are the blessed of the Lord. In fact, let's put that scripture up from Luke, Debbie. This is the story of when angel Gabriel came and appeared to Mary. And when he came and appeared to Mary, he said some powerful things to her before she conceived Jesus. Okay? And it says that the angel, having come in, said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you, blessed are you among women." Now, this was, again, before there was ever any evidence in her. The Holy Spirit hadn't come upon her yet. She had not conceived Jesus yet. She seemingly didn't have much. Yet the Lord said, "Rejoice now. You are highly favored. The Lord is with you, and you are blessed among women." See, a lot of times the Lord will say things concerning you before you ever have any evidence of it in your life or not. And then it's up to you whether you're going to believe that about yourself or not. A great example of this is with the blessing of Abraham itself. If you look at Genesis chapter 12, where the Lord did bless him and made some promises over him, I want you to notice what it says. Now the Lord, chapter 12 verse 1, now the Lord, now notice this terminology, had said. Didn't say he was saying this right then. He had already said it. Now, if you study it, a lot of times the book of Genesis is not written in chronological order. There's a reason why things are listed here. And what you find a lot of times with Abraham was God had spoken to him. If you go read Acts chapter 7, when Stephen was being stoned or before he was being stoned, he made this great sermon that he declared to all the religious leaders. And one of the things he said was that the Lord appeared to Abram in Ur of the Chaldeans. He didn't appear to him sometime after. He appeared to him when he was a moon worshiper and when he was in this pagan lifestyle. And what you find is, if you go to the chapter before this, you'll find out that he didn't listen to the Lord. The Lord told him to do some things. Leave your father's house. Guess what he didn't do? He didn't leave. What is delayed obedience, guys? It's disobedience. He was being disobedient. And not only was he being disobedient with that, he was supposed to leave his father's house. He even took somebody with him. Right? He took Lot with him. And in fact, there's arguments that are made that he took other people. My point in saying that was that the blessing that was made over him, he didn't immediately obey. But did God still bless him? Oh yeah. Guess who's that's good news for? Every person in here, because guess what? Every person in here has not obeyed perfectly, did not do everything right, and we tend to disqualify ourselves and say, well, I guess God can't bless me because I did this, this, and that. Have you guys, any of you guys in here that are married, ever tried to give your wife over to another man to save your own neck? Anybody in here done something that despicable? I sure hope not. Well, Abraham did. Amen. This is good news for you today, because you can still be blessed just like he was. Oh, glory to God. But my point in this is that these blessings that were made over him and where God had promised things to him, the Bible said he had said them to him. Guess what? God had said a lot of stuff to you too. I know that's not good English, but you understand what I'm saying, right? He has said a lot of things about you. Where do you reckon those things are located? In that book up on this podium, that book that's in your lap today. God has made many different promises to you, telling you are the blessed and highly favored one of the Lord. You are the healed of the Lord. And it's up to us of whether we're going to believe that that blessing is a reality in our life or not. Amen. In fact, when you look up the term blessed, you find out real quick that oftentimes it is associated with words. Words. In fact, the Greek word that's used for blessed a lot of times is the Greek word eulogia, where we get our English word eulogy from, right? What is a eulogy? It is saying good things about somebody. Typically, traditionally, it's being done at a funeral of some kind. So we're speaking positive things. We're speaking good things about it. But the word blessed there describes a word, a spoken word. And I believe there's two reasons why that's important to understand. Number one, you can't separate God's blessing from his word. Number two, the blessing was transmitted through words. Amen. Well, the first time the Old Testament word for blessed was used was in Genesis when God created these things on those 7 days. And the Bible says the Lord blessed them and said. So how did he bless them? By speaking that you will be fruitful, you will multiply, you will replenish the earth, you will have dominion. He would bless by speaking things. So the blessing was transmitted even from father to son by saying, may the Lord give you all these different blessings. It's constant in the Scriptures. So you can't separate God's blessing from his word. And what becomes important to understand then is that I have to become a word person. I got to believe what God's word says and believe what he's already said to me. Amen. Instead of believing what I've experienced, believe in what circumstances have said to me, believe in what my parents told me. You know, there's a lot of people out there, they live in bondage. They live in Egypt down there. And the reason why is because they were not spoken edifying words from authority figures in their life. They were told they were stupid, you're never going to amount to anything, and they were constantly berated and spoken all these negative things, and it's hard to renew your mind. But you can if you will get in the Word and let God baptize you in His Word. Let God give you a bath. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need a bath. You just made friends this morning. Hallelujah. No, we need to be washed in the water of the Word. Glory to God. And let God renew our mind to start thinking the way God thinks about us. Because what happened to Abraham? This blessing was made over him. Promises were given concerning him. And what ended up happening? For 24 years... nothing happened. Now, he had certain things happen. He became very rich in livestock. He had financial blessing come over him. But in terms of the big blessing that was supposed to come over his life, about being the father of many nations, that didn't happen automatically. He had that blessing and that promise for years without it happening, until God revealed himself to him again. And the Bible says he appeared to Abraham and he said, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And the word Almighty there was the Hebrew word Shaddai, where God revealed himself to him that I am the God who's more than enough. The all-breasty one with endless supply and provision. And when he revealed himself like that, God then said, I'm revealing to you what my name is, and that's not enough, Abraham. We're going to change your name too. No longer shall you be called Abram, now you're going to be Abraham. For I will someday, in the sweet by and by, make you a father of many nations. Yeah, some of y'all need to read your Bible, because I totally misquoted that. No, he said, because he had made him the father of many nations. Before he ever had any evidence of it. So when Abraham had this mind renewal go on in his life to where he saw God as the one of endless supply, and he saw himself differently as the one that will produce the father and be the father of many nations, then you know what happened? Within 3 months, Sarah conceived. So he had the promise for 24 years. Nothing happened. But when he changed the way he saw himself and the way he saw God, then stuff started happening. What does that teach us? You can have God make you a lot of promises in that book. You can have God have prophesied wonderful things over you and go decade after decade with nothing ever happening. Until you start thinking like God thinks about you. Thus the reason your mentality, your frame of mind, becomes ultra important when it comes to this area too. Amen. So I want us to go over to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy 28, and I want to show you today what a little bit of this fruit of the blessing is. But first we're going to talk about what the root of this blessing is. Amen. Now you'll hear this and you'll be like, well, how is this the blessing of Abraham? This was actually the blessing of the law. Well, God does not change. Amen. All he did was in a more full way manifest and describe what the blessing is that was on Abraham originally to the sons of Abraham. Amen. So these things are all the same. God doesn't change. But Deuteronomy chapter 28, look at verse 1. The first thing God said to him, though, was this. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And then he goes on to describe all these blessings. Right? Now here's the mistake most Christians make. They read that verse and say, well, I guess I better get busy diligently obeying the voice of the Lord my God and learning how to observe carefully all his commandments. I'm going to say something to you today that will liberate you. You can't do that. They couldn't do it either. Right? And people try to act like they want to do this and they say, well, we just go back and observe all the Torah. Okay, guess what? They're not doing it either. They're not obeying all these commandments. In fact, if you're going to try to do that today, then guess what? Fluffy's in trouble. Your little pets you got, you better go sacrifice them. You better plan on not working for a full year for that year-long Sabbath. I mean, there's a lot of things that people say, well, I'll do it. They're just cherry-picking the ones they want to do. Now, the fact is, you're not the Redeemer. Help me again. What does it say in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13? Christ has redeemed us. It didn't say Christ plus you. So the truth is concerning this is that Deuteronomy 28, yes, it was written to try to expose sin in their lives and so forth, but what it really teaches us is Jesus was the one that diligently obeyed the voice of the Lord his God and observed carefully all his commandments. He fulfilled the righteous requirement of the law. Therefore, Jesus already paid this price so that all the blessings that are located right after this can be inherited by us by grace through faith. Can I get an amen? That's good news. Praise the Lord forever. Now, let's look at what some of these blessings are. Now, he goes on to say, he will set you high above the nations. Then, verse 2, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Now, that's really cool. A lot of times we miss the old King James talk here. What this is basically saying, Trey's translation would say, and these blessings are going to get on you and they're going to tackle you. Isn't that awesome? How many of you'd like to be tackled by the blessings of the Lord? Praise the Lord. But the problem is, some of us run real quick. They can't catch you. The Bible says that His goodness and His mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. Problem is, we're not standing still long enough for them to hit us. They'll come over you and overtake you because you obey the voice, or let's say it this way, because Jesus obeyed the voice of the Lord his God. Verse 3, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Now, before we go any further and look at this, one thing that's really important to understand and the lens that you got to read this through is this. These blessings were promises that were made for a society that was mainly made up of farmers and shepherds. It was an agricultural society that the Jews lived in. So when you start reading all these blessings, you'll find out these are things that are good news for those that live in an agricultural society. Okay? So you got to kind of read them like based on our society and the way we live and what we do. And I'll help you do that today with a few of these. He says, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Do you know what this was really communicating to them? They might have had an easier time believing that they could be blessed in the country. Why? Because they were farmers and shepherds and different things like that. It's easy to believe that you're going to be blessed in an environment of the things you're skilled and good at. But if they would be sent into the city somewhere, how's God going to be able to bless me there because I'm not good at doing things they do in the city? You following what I'm saying? So the promise that was being made was, you're not going to be blessed because you're good at something, because you've got skills at something. You're going to be blessed because God enables you in whatever environment you're in to be blessed in that environment. That what that tells me is, you don't have to wait to get a job of something that you are skilled and good at. If the Lord gives you a job somewhere else, I can go flip patties right over there at McDonald's down the street. And guess what? I can expect God's blessing to fully be upon me, even there. Even though I've never flipped patties before. Right? Why? Because the blessing is not contingent on me. It's contingent on Him. Amen. Now, verse 4, look what he goes on to say then. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body. Guess what that's talking about? Your kids. Boy, some of you parents out there ought to get excited about that one. My children, grandchildren, and so forth are blessed. Because why? They're the fruit of my body. And look at this one. The produce of your ground. And the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Again, talking to farmers and people that were doing that for a living. So when you look at this, the herds, the cattle, and the flocks are what? This is talking about your stuff, your bank accounts, your checking account, your savings account, your retirement accounts, whatever you've got that is your stuff, where your value is, it's blessed. In fact, it says right here, the produce of your ground. What is that? That's where you sow your seed. The ground itself is blessed. You know what that describes? Your job. Where you work. Did you know that the places you're at ought to be blessed because you're there? I remember I was flying one time. I can't remember. I think it was one of my trips to India, and I don't know if it was one of the trips going over the Atlantic. But I remember there was somebody I was sitting near that was really freaked out by the flights. In fact, a funny story along those lines, I used to have an Indian friend of mine named Trinity Elisha that used to travel with me all the time. He'd never flown in an airplane before. And we get on one of these local flights and everything like that, and I look over and he's just scared, he's terrified. And I look over and I said, you know these go down all the time, don't you? I'm just kidding. I told him, I'm just kidding, man. We're going to be fine. I told one person one time when we were flying and they were freaking out about the plane going down. I said, this plane will not crash. And they're like, how can you be so confident? I said, because I'm on it. People look at it and say, they'll look at that and say, who do you think you are? It's not who I think I am. It's who I know I am. The blessed of the Lord. Amen. Now, I know some people out there, they wouldn't dare talk like that. In fact, because they're superstitious. Because if I talk like that, it might happen. Right? That's ridiculous. Have faith in what God says about you. Amen. So the produce of your ground, your place of employment, ought to look at you like Laban looked at Jacob and said, I know that the Lord has blessed all I have because of you. That's what he said over him. And a lot of that's going to come down to the fact when you believe that you're blessed and you work hard for them and things like that, they'll start recognizing they're blessed because of you. It's the way it should be. It's one of our testimonies. It's one of our witnesses before people. Now let's continue reading. Look at verse 5. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Now again, what in the world is this talking about? Well, the basket that's being described here was the object that they used to collect their harvest. Right? So it was what held their stuff. Again, going back to your bank accounts. Amen. You know what it reminds me of is when Jesus fed the multiples, thousands. You remember that? And what did the Bible say happened? That Jesus blessed and broke the bread and the fish, and his disciples passed it out. Now, what I personally believe happened was they didn't see the multiplication. It was in those baskets, the very baskets they used to pick up the fragments afterwards. That's why they had the baskets, because that's what they were using to pass it out. And so what was happening was, they'd reach down in there, there was always more. There was always more than enough. The blessing on our life should result in it just seeming supernatural that my money's just not running out. I can't necessarily put my finger on it of why it's working this way, but instead of the curse, which seems like you got holes in your pocket and it doesn't seem like anything holds, the blessing says it's multiplying supernaturally while it's sitting there. It happened for Jesus. It'll happen for you. So blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. What was the kneading bowl? It was where they made their bread. Where do you make your bread at? Oh, glory to God. Going back to the place of employment, how does your money start increasing? You see what I'm saying? You are blessed in all of these things, is what the Lord said is your inheritance. Look at verse 6. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. I got a great example from this. Go to the book of Job. What are you talking about? You mispronouncing that, pastor? Well, that's why people don't like to read this book, because they think it spells job. They ain't interested in working. No, it's the book of Job. And I want you to notice what about this story. This is going to light your fire. If this don't light your fire, your wood is wet. I can promise you right here. This is some good stuff. Now, most people, when they think about Job, good old Job or poor old Job, they all the time think about all the things he suffered and how bad it was and all this kind of stuff. And it was a long book. And the majority of the book did spend time talking about the things he suffered and all the questions he had. But do you know what historians tell us? The book of Job, historically, only was about 9 months. It was less than a year that all those things happened to him. And all the things I'm going to read to you today of coming in and going out, you're going to find out he was blessed with that in the majority of his life, where he lived hundreds of years. So guess what this means? Job had a bad year. You ever had a bad year? Right? Now, he had a really bad year. A lot of bad stuff happened. But don't get hyper-focused on the things that happened bad for the 9 months. Let's get focused on the good things that happened before and after. So we're coming into the book of Job. Blessed coming in. In chapter 1, verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright and one who feared God and shunned evil. Thank God for that, man. That's the most important thing, right? Now notice this. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Now back then, having kids was like birthing employees. You understand that? I mean, back then, to us, we have kids, and the kids, we're almost working for the kids today. Back then, that's why they wanted boys. That'll hit some of you on the way home, because they'd do the hard work. So they were blessed in this. And so describing this, having 7 sons and 3 daughters, that was a sign of blessing on his life. And notice what it says in verse 3. Also, his possessions. He makes a point to tell us what his possessions were. 7,000 sheep. I mean, picture this. 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen. Now, that's not 500 oxen. That's 500 yoke of oxen. 500 female donkeys and a very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all the people in the East. Why was this man so blessed? Because God had blessed him. This was the Lord's doing. Now, I know a lot of times people look at, oh, well, God allowed all those things. God brought the suffering on Job and all that. That wasn't God. Read the second chapter. It was the devil. When the devil got access to his life, that was the fruit. Everything was stripped from him. So you know what the good news is about that? The good news is, if you haven't had your health completely ransacked and stripped from you, all of your loved ones turning on you and dying, and all of your possessions being taken away from you, guess what? The devil don't have full access into your life. If he gets full access into your life, that's exactly what your fruit would be. Amen. It wasn't God who was responsible for all that stuff. It was the devil. God's blessing put a hedge around him of protection. That was the Lord's will. And it is indicative of everything you read in Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14. All of those blessings. So he was this great person. All of this stuff happened. So might we say that Job was blessed coming in? But this is what people miss. He was blessed going out too. Look at chapter 42. If we get to the end of the chapter, I mean the whole book, look at this. And the Lord restored, sounds like redemption to me, restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Now, so everything we just read that he had, he got twice as much. And he goes on to describe some of it. Look at the next verse. Then all his brothers, all his sisters, and all those who had been his acquaintances before came to him and ate food with him in his house, and they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversity that the Lord had brought upon him. And they say that because they didn't have an understanding, a clear understanding of who was responsible for these things. Each one gave him a piece of silver and each one a ring of gold. Wouldn't that be awesome? You have the whole church come over to your house today for lunch, and everybody brings gold and silver and jewels. I'll take some of that too, Julia. Amen. That's what happens when you're blessed. Guess what else happens when you're blessed? You'll be the ones that give it. We'll get more into that in the weeks to come. Look at the next verse, verse 12. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. What's the next verse say? He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Praise God. And he called the name of the first Jemima. Look at that, man. I don't know why we got rid of Aunt Jemima. She's in the Bible. And then he goes on to describe all these different people, you know, all these kids in his life. And I love this right here. Let's get to that last verse. In all the land, there were found no women so beautiful as the daughters of Job. Part of your blessing is your kids look good. Lord bless me in Jesus' name. I'm just kidding. I got a good looking son. Amen. He's going to really hate that right there. Okay. And their father gave them an inheritance. And this, look at this. It gave them an inheritance, go back to 15, among their brothers. Verse 16, look at this. And after this, Job lived 140 years. So he lived 140 years after this bad year. And saw his children and grandchildren for 4 generations. Part of the blessing is you get to watch your grandchildren raised. That's awesome. I'll have some of that too. And then it goes on to say, so Job died, old and full of days. See, we've had a wrong mindset, a wrong way of thinking about Job, haven't we? I mean, in all honesty, if you looked at the guy's life in totality, and we really saw what it was and were honest about it, any person in here would trade their current life for Job's. I mean, that's a good life. It was a bad year. Very good life. A blessed life. So he was blessed coming in and blessed going out. Isn't that awesome? So what we learn from this is we got to start thinking that this is a reality for each one of our lives. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. I'm beginning to close. Y'all know what that means? Absolutely nothing. It doesn't mean anything at all. In fact, the Apostle Paul said in the book of Philippians, halfway through it, finally. So you don't pay attention when preachers say in conclusion or anything like that. Now look at this. He said something. He said, I call heaven and earth, 30:19, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I've set before you life, death, blessing, and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Choose life. Now, here's a really good piece of information because a lot of us have had this wrong thinking of choosing the wrong way of thinking ingrained in us. And it's not going to necessarily get erased overnight, okay? You're going to have to work at it. You're going to have to really baptize yourself in some new doctrine and really think the way God thinks in order to get your mind renewed. And what we learn in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, I love this. The weapons of our warfare, are, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Why? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. For what? The pulling down of strongholds, the casting down of arguments or imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now here's the important part to get. When you see that phrase, pulling down and casting down there, he's talking about what? Thought patterns, ways of thinking. When you look those words, casting down and pulling down, in the original language, you know what it literally says when you break the words apart? It means to choose down. To choose down. What does that mean? The way you're going to get rid of those strongholds, those wrong ways of thinking, that stinking thinking, is how you're going to have to choose to think differently. You're going to have to choose life. Choose blessing. Choose a blessed mentality. And when you start embracing this and making it your own, watch out. Everybody around you say, they're the greatest in the East. They're the greatest in the South. They're the greatest in this, because why? Those blessings will start chasing you down and overtaking you, spirit, soul, and body. Your bank account will be blessed. Your pocketbook will be blessed. Your physical body will be blessed, because why? You see yourself as blessed. I am no longer Abram that could not have no kids. I am no longer Abram that can't see God doing these things for me. I am today Abraham, the father of many nations, because God has made me that way. He has said some things about me, and I will now embrace that new mentality. God, take out of me this wrong thinking. Take out of me this wrong mentality. Wash and baptize my mind to think like Christ. Put the mind of Christ on the inside of me to where he realized it didn't matter what was being subtracted from him. He would always be the cork that would rise to the top. Nothing can hold him down, because he will be blessed coming in, he will be blessed going out, and I will be like him. That's the blessing. That is your inheritance, and that is what we got to start thinking like. Choose life. Choose blessing. Now choose to stand on your feet. In Jesus' name. Man, I don't know about y'all, but I'm glad I came this morning. Right? Amen. Praise the Lord. I woke up this morning and said, man, I almost got on my phone and said, Robert, take the service today. I'm serious. That thought went through my mind today. Whenever you're tempted the most, because you're not feeling it, all this kind of stuff, whenever you're tempted with these things, that's when you need to be there. God's got something for you, man. And he'll build you up. He'll edify you. I'm looking at a bunch of blessed people in this place. Blessed. Too blessed to be stressed. Too anointed to be disappointed. Oh, hallelujah, the courts that always rise up to the top. You might be going through a tough time just like Job, but your end, your latter days will be better than the former when you think that way. Amen? Give Him some glory. Praise God. Lord, we thank You today for building us up, edifying us, showing us the truth that we are the blessed of the Lord, and we thank You that this blessing does make us rich and adds no sorrow with it. Lord, You want us to have abundance. You want us to be blessed in our pocketbooks and our bank accounts because You want to establish Your covenant here on the earth. Thank You today for reminding us of these truths and for promising us all these things. May our minds be renewed, be washed, so that we can start thinking like You and seeing ourselves as the blessed of the Lord. Say it with me. Say, I am blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. The blessed of the Lord. The blessed of the Lord. That's me. That's me. That's me. Amen. Amen.